This Mishnah continues along the theme of the previous Mishnah. We are discussing different cases of ones, an unavoidable occurrence, where in such a case a nosi socher or socher would be patur from paying the value of the object they are watching to the owner. Now the Mishnah said that if the animal they are watching dies in a normal way, this would be considered an ones, an unavoidable occurrence, and they would be patur from paying. Sikfa v'mesa in ones. But if they tortured the animal by not giving it to eat for a period of time, even if after that they started giving it to eat again and then it died, this would not be considered an ones, as we assume the reason why it died is because it did not have food for a period of time, and therefore they are chayav to pay the value of the animal to the owner. Also, l'rashi soikin v'nafla v'mesa, hareza ones. If the animal forcefully went up to the top of a cliff, the nosi socher or socher was not able to stop the animal from going up to the top of the cliff, and when it got to the top, it fell down and died. This would be an ones, and they would be patur. Hela l'rashi soikin v'nafla v'mesa, ain't an ones. But if the shomer brought the animal up himself to the top of a cliff, and when it got to the top of the cliff, it fell down and died, this would not be an ones, as he should not have brought the animal to the top of the cliff in the first place. Masne shomer chinam lios pater mishvua, v'hashoel lios pater milishalin. A shomer chinam to make a precondition before he accepts upon himself the responsibility of guarding the animal, that he would be patur from a shvua, meaning if something happens to the animal, he would not have to take a shvua that he was not poshea. He can make this precondition, and then if the animal would die, he would not have to take a shvua. He'd be patur without a shvua. And a shoel, who is chayiv even for an ones, can make a precondition before he borrows the object that he will be patur from paying if something happens to the object. And a nosi socher or a socher also could make a precondition that they would be patur from a shvua in a case of an ones, and that they would be patur from paying in the case of meva or aveda, and they know socher or a socher normally have to pay if the object is stolen or lost, and they can make a precondition with the owner that they would not have to pay if there was a gneva or aveda. Anytime somebody makes a condition against what the Torah says, the condition that he makes is inconsistent with the Torah, the condition is not valid. So therefore, if somebody is Mekadesh and Isha on condition that he will not support her, this is against the Torah. The Torah is Mechayev Baal to support his wife, so therefore the condition is not valid, and the Kedushin is valid, and he will be Mechayev to support her. Any condition that the Maisa was set over before the Tanai, this Tanai is not valid. For example, somebody is Mekadesh and Isha, and he said to the Isha, I am Mekadesh you on the condition that you give me a sum of money. So he said the Maisa, which is the Kedushin before the Tanai, that which she has to give him the money, the Tanai is not valid. In this case, he would have to say the Tanai first. He would have to say to her, if you give me a sum of money, then I will be Mekadesh you. In such a case, the Tanai will be valid. The reason for this is that we learn out all conditions from the condition that Moshe Rabbeinu made with the Bnei Gad Ubnei Reuven. As the Bnei Gad Ubnei Reuven asked Moshe Rabbeinu to allow them to inherit the Eber HaYarden, they wanted Eretz Sichon V'Og as their chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu allowed them to inherit that part of Eretz Yisrael if they would cross over the Yarden and help Klal Yisrael conquer the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And when he made this condition with them, he first said the Tanai before the Maisa, he first said, Em Yavru b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven eschem et ha'yarden, if b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven will cross over the Yarden and help Klal Yisrael conquer Eretz Yisrael. And only after that, Moshe Rabbeinu said, U'nasatan lahem et Eretz Hagila la'achuza, if they fulfill their condition, they will be given Eretz Hagila as their Yerusha. So just like in this Tanai that Moshe Rabbeinu made with b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven, he said over the Tanai before the Maisa, so too, anytime somebody makes a condition, he needs to go over the time before the Maisa. V'chosha eshalo l'kaimo v'sofo v'hisna alav mitchiloso t'nai kaim. Any t'nai that is possible to fulfill eventually, and somebody makes this t'nai in the beginning at the time that he is Mekadesh the Isha. He makes a tefillah that is possible for the Isha to eventually fulfill, such as he is Mekadesh her on the condition she gives him a sum of money. This is a valid tefillah, and only if she gives him the money will the Kedushin be valid. But if he makes a tefillah that is impossible for her to fulfill, such as he makes a tefillah on the condition she jumps over the Yam, or something else that is impossible, this is not a valid tefillah. The Kedushin will be chal even though she cannot fulfill the tefillah. The reason being is that since he made a tefillah on something that is impossible for her to do, obviously he wasn't being serious. He did not say the tefillah as a serious objection to the Kedushin, that the Kedushin will only be valid if she fulfills the tefillah. He wanted the Kedushin to be chal in any case, and he was joking around with the tefillah, so therefore, even though she can't fulfill the tefillah, the Kedushin is valid.